Music was called Deja Vu by Alejandro Ziegler, who is the leader of the Alejandro Ziegler Quartet that is coming to the University of Illinois tonight for a series of events, a masterclass starting at 5 o'clock. There'll be a meet and greet with musicians, a free tango dance lesson for beginners. More about all of this coming up shortly. 7:30, then a concert. The doors opening for the concert, and 8 o'clock the concert itself, and then there's even a tango social. This is all being hosted by a University of Illinois group that is called the Tango Tango Student Organization, represented here by Joe Groens. Joe and Alejandro are with us on this portion of Live and Local. Coming up, we'll be having a band with the wonderful name of the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra, who are actually passing through our area between gigs in Indianapolis and St. Louis. So looking forward to that live music coming up. First, Joe, let me give you a chance to talk about the organization and how you came across Alejandro Ziegler's group.
Our organization, Tango Tango, is It's a student club that also has links into the community for primarily tango dancing, but learning about all aspects of tango. And I came across Alejandro. Actually, he emailed me some years ago when they were in Europe asking if we would ever be interested in hosting them here. And then finally, we managed to put it together.
And I know from talking with you previously that not all tango groups in town use live music. It's sort of hard to get live music that is danceable, for one thing, and that's a big issue. It's hard to find players who are up on this style. And so when you're going to have live musicians, I guess there's a big issue in what kind of music do you play and so on. And so maybe first as a dancer, Joe, I'll just ask you, your preferences, or what's your take on that?
Well, in having a really, you know, happening tango dance, you have to have good music, and the music that's suitable for dancing has a strong beat and a certain amount of space for the dancers to improvise and move in. And there's another branch of tango music that has evolved, you might call it more modern, since the 50s, including things like Piazzolla. And there's also a branch of tango music that is mostly singing. And neither one of those are particularly good for dancing. So there's like a subset of tango that was recorded in the 40s and 50s that during the height of tango dancing, that is still the music that we play at a dance, and it's what people feel is the right kind of music and you know, conducive to a good dance. So when musicians take up tango, they take it up because they want to play the music of Piazzolla. And then if we're going to have the dancers and those groups get together, either the dancers adapt and dance to Piazzolla, which has some different kinds of rhythms than what we might be used to. Or the bands might have to develop more of a traditional, what we call a traditional repertoire.
And so we have the band leader here for the event tonight, Alejandro Ziegler, who is the pianist in the group. There's three others, the violinist, bandoneon player, which is the accordion-like instrument that provides probably the most characteristic sound of tango that I think people recognize, and then also a double bass player. And so, Alejandro, how did you get started, or what made you decide to start a band, and was it specifically for dancing or not necessarily?
Well, at first I studied classical music, composing and conducting, but I always knew that I wanted to play tango music. At first, I discovered it by, as Joe said, the music of Piazzolla. You know, as a teenager, we felt represented by that music. But later on, when you start to look for the roots in music, when you study more, we started to appreciate traditional tango too. And nowadays, I like both. Yeah.
So when you say you always knew you wanted to play tango music, how, why?
Why? It's very difficult to explain. And maybe it's because you feel reflected or, you know, it's our roots. In Buenos Aires, I come from Buenos Aires. It's the music of Buenos Aires. So,
I know that in the States, for example, a lot of people that I can think of, including myself, associate tango with Argentina. Of course, it happens in other places as well, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody in Argentina dances the tango or loves the tango or does it.
Okay, in the old days, yes, it was like a dancing fever, 40s and 50s, the golden age. Everybody danced at that time. As the years went by, you know, rock and roll changed every, not only music, but dancing and the youth interest. And a lot of people started not to be interested on tango music. But nowadays, well, some people dance, some others not. Not everybody knows.
Have you ever been a tango dancer?
I tried, but I need more practice.
You decided that the musical route was the way for you to go.
Yeah.
So when you formed a band, did you do it in order to play for dances specifically? Or did you start thinking, we'll play Piazzolla's music and then
Well, no,
out?
My first idea was to play my music.
Your music, your own compositions.
Yeah, yeah, that was my first idea. But once I started to learn and know more about traditional tango, I was also interested in playing for dancing or for concerts. It's the same for me. I like both.
So the music we heard to open the program today was your own piece, Deja Vu. Would that be what you would call a dancing piece or not a dancing piece?
Well, we need a dancer's opinion on that, maybe. I don't know.
But what did you have in mind when you wrote it?
Well, when I wrote it, the main thing for me is that I like what I'm doing. You know, it's not that I say to myself, this has to be danceable or not. But it has some elements, the steady beat, some parts of it that it could be danced. At the same time, there are other parts of the tango that are more free in terms of beat that could be more difficult to be danced. Mm-hmm.
But from Joe's comment earlier, there is a lot of improvisational elements to tango dancing itself. That's part of the creativity of creative tango dancing anyway. And some of what I have seen actually could even take place in silence at times.
Yeah, I suppose.
And so, it would still be beautiful to look at anyway.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, one of the things about tango dance is that a lot of people get into it because it's very creative. And, you know, like you take a place like a university where you have, you know, many different kinds of, you know, people with creative impulses and different intellectual backgrounds, and they will be able to dance to, you know, anything or silence. That's for sure. But what Alejandro is saying about there needing to be the steady beat, if you're not in like a modern dancer or something, or adept at contact improv or something like that, you're just a ordinary person who wants to dance with a person of the other sex and have it work well and have a good time. You don't want too many musical challenges.
You want the beat.
Yeah, and you want to be transported by the feeling of it. Yeah,
and a good tune, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's speeding up and slowing down, which might be musically interesting, that makes it more difficult.
You don't want to cater to the lead foot who's going to stumble and then make you have to stop dancing for a while. And so,
yeah, but there are people in our town who actually they want that challenge, and they get bored actually by the traditional music. So they. As a DJ, I'm often getting requests for, come on, play something a little, you know, a little bit more offbeat.
So it sounds like the Alejandro Ziegler Quartet will be providing a nice balance. We have an example here from your recording. I don't have first names of all of these composers, but somebody named Gobbi.
Yes, that was a very important orchestra in the 50s.
What was the first name?
Alfredo Gobbi. Mm.
And this piece called Redención.
Redención was a piece he wrote for his daughter when she died. And it was never recorded by his orchestra. We had an old recording, live recording, and we transcribed, you see? Yeah, the music from there.
So this would be one that is more obviously for dancing than perhaps the others that we're going to
That orchestra hear. Was a little bit challenging for dancers, no? Mm-hmm. At those days. It was not one of the most danceable, but you can still dance to it.
Well, let's give a listen. It's music by Alfredo Gobbi. Redención is the name of the piece, played by the Alejandro Ziegler Quarteto Tango, a tango quartet. They'll be playing tonight at the Illini Union at the University of Illinois that's in Urbana, technically in Urbana. We'll give you a rundown of all the events coming up. This is Live and Local. So it sounds like that was recorded in a live setting by the Alejandro Ziegler Quarteto Tango, Tango Quartet, music by Alfredo Gobbi called Redención here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The quartet from Argentina will be performing tonight at 8 o'clock at the in the Courtyard Cafe of the Illini Union on the University of Illinois campus. And then there will be a dance, a tango social, which is called a milonga. Talk a little bit about Alejandro, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. What the role of the milonga in Argentinian society or in tango society, whichever is more appropriate to talk about?
Well, it was a social dance. Milonga is the place, the name we give to the place where this is the social meeting for dancing. And, I don't know much about telling you about how a milonga was at those days, because I've never experienced that. Nowadays, it's people that just want to have fun, you know, and that like to dance tango. There's no extra, you know.
Is it a somewhat common thing for you to go in a setting such as you're doing here, mm-hmm. and play the concert part where people just sit and listen, mm-hmm. and then do what's going to happen, you know, at 9 o'clock, and then people uh-huh. get up, and then I guess you switch musically a little bit to the different kind of music that
yes
then they can dance to
for tonight, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Of course, it's the same idea we were talking about before. It's when we play concert music, the first set, it's supposed to be music where, you know, there's much more space for the soloist, for music development, for musical ideas. And the second set for dancing is more concentrated in the dancers. I mean, you know, as we said, the beat, it's an important part of it. Yeah.
I mentioned earlier the bandoneon, which is the concertina or accordion instrument, mm-hmm. That makes so much of the sound. But the piano too. Mm-hmm. It seems almost that the two are inseparable, and the violin as well. I mean, is this the typical tango ensemble of violin, bass, bandoneon, and piano?
Yeah, I've tried to arrange these tangos to sound like a traditional orchestra, which were much more bigger. It was like four bandoneons, four violins, a cello, a double bass, piano. So this is like a synthesis of that sound, especially because nowadays it's not easy to work with 12 musicians, you know. Nowadays we compete with the recordings. Each instrument in the tango ensemble has its own role. Yeah, we have no percussion in tango music, so as you noticed, maybe the piano is more percussive. We carry the tempo with our left hand and the double bass, and melody mostly is for violin and bandoneon. Yeah.
Well, it's a wonderful sound. I've always loved tango music at all, but I guess I particularly have enjoyed the small groups, whether mm-hmm. it's Piazzolla's group that, mm-hmm. You know, he had a particular sound that included these instruments and at least one other. And I love hearing the sound of your group. Wish we had a little more time, but I'm sure people who are... there's probably most of the tango people in town, I imagine, probably know about it, and if you didn't, here is a rundown of the events. There's a free masterclass for musicians by Alejandro Ziegler this evening at 5 o'clock, right after this show, as a matter of fact. Non-musicians are welcome as well. These are all in the Illini Union. 6 o'clock, you can meet and greet the musicians. Free tango dance lesson for beginners at 6:30. Doors open for the concert at 7:30 in the Courtyard Cafe. And then at 8 o'clock, the concert itself. 9 o'clock, the tango social begins, and everybody is welcome to dance at that point in this milonga setting. Alejandro Ziegler is the pianist of the quartet. Joe Groens represents the Tango Student Organization at the University of Illinois. Appreciate both of you very much for coming on the show and letting us know about it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks.
And here is a sample of Piazzolla's music of the sort. It's pretty directly concert music, but some love to dance to it anyway. Thank you. That's music by Astor Piazzolla, performed by the Alejandro Quartet, Quarteto Tango. They'll be at the University of Illinois tonight on the schedule that I just gave you a bit ago. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the show. Tonight at 7 o'clock on the evening concert, it's the Cleveland Orchestra, led by guest conductor Giancarlo Guerrero from Knight Concert Hall in Miami. Gabriela Montero is the piano soloist in Grieg's Piano Concerto. Also on the program, Beethoven's Sixth Symphony and Respighi's The Pines of Rome. It's the Cleveland Orchestra tonight at 7 on the evening concert here on FM 90.9. We have support today from the Music Shop, celebrating 51 years of service to music education, now offering private lesson instruction for students of all ages. They also feature guitars, amplifiers, digital pianos, software, and sound equipment in the Pro Sound Center at 27 East Market View Drive, Market View Plaza, Champaign, or at themusicshop.com. And shop is spelled S-H-O-P-P-E. The Galactic Cowboy Orchestra, out of Minnesota, is an unusual kind of name for an unusual mix of music. I described them one way in my promo for the show. On their website, they describe it slightly differently as Chick Corea meets the Dixie Dregs meets a Prairie Home Companion. Two very different descriptions, if you heard those earlier. I wouldn't know where to begin in talking about these guys. We were very pleased a couple years ago to have them playing in our listening area. I think it was the Sleepy Creek Vineyards, and then they played on our show, which was a blast. And then I heard from their fiddle player, Lisi Wright, a few months ago, saying that they were going to be between gigs. Any chance we'd like to have them back? So it's a little unusual that we have a group on the show who isn't, in fact, going to be playing in our immediate listening area. However, if you want to make a short drive, to St. Louis tomorrow, they're going to be playing there tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Hey, you could spend the weekend on the town in St. Louis. The Galactic Cowboy Orchestra are with us live on the show. They are guitarist Dan Neal, fiddle player Lisi Wright, as I mentioned, bass player John Wright, and Mark O'Day normally plays drums and other percussion, just as he did last time. He is making use of percussion equipment in our studio, which is to say, brushes on a music stand.
Wow, yep.
Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having
Appreciate
us.
It.
Well, it was a blast last time, and I'm sure it will be again. And why don't we just let you guys launch into something?
All right. Mm-hmm. All together.
Here we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I just added.
that was the coda, right?
I just wrote that.
That's you're witnessing creativity, right? Yeah. There,
it's called live radio, ladies and gentlemen. The Galactic Cowboy Orchestra live in the studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, featuring the solo at the end, Mark O'Day, percussionist extraordinaire. Endorsed by paste cymbals and performing apparently stolen University of Illinois School of Music music stand.
Yeah.
I would be ashamed of saying that, except they're all over town, and everybody knows it. And I didn't steal it, and I don't know some musician came in and brought it here.
It's even got, like, muffling on it for some reason.
Oh, it's got taped.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, maybe somebody intended for this to be used as a percussion item. Well, in any event, what was the name of that tune?
It
was called Dark Matter, off the first CD.
The first CD, which is called Looking for a Little Strange.
Correct.
You know, somebody needs to update your website because you don't list your other CDs in your biography. So you have one out from last year, all out of peaches. It must be Lisi's role there.
I think we should fire management right now.
Yeah.
All Out of Peaches. That's a wonderful title. And then you have a couple of volumes of... quote, songs we didn't write from 2009 and 2011, as their cover tunes, as you would expect. This was one you did write.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm saying write. There are two writes in the room, Lisi on the fiddle and John on the bass, Dan Neils, the guitarist, and Mark O'Day, as we mentioned, the percussionist. And I do remember, now that I'm sort of rereading your bios and so on, various aspects of you from when you were here a couple years ago, but I really don't have any idea what we talked about at the time, so we may cover some of the same ground. But you all are originally from Minnesota, the Twin Cities, Minnesota, or
nope.
Any of you?
Not from the Twin Cities. I'm from Minnesota. I'm from southern Minnesota.
But you gathered in and currently living in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everybody is living in. Yes. Well, what is the Twin Cities music life like? I mean, I think our experience on public radio tends to focus rather narrowly on A Prairie Home Companion.
Sure.
I think somehow this represents
it's just like that
Twin Cities music. That's it.
I spend a lot of time just hanging out on Lake Wobegon, and
eating hot dish.
Yeah, and doing all those things at Garrison Keillor.
In that which case, it must get awfully dull because, you know, there's just a few stories
hey,
that
now.
Go on and a few sort of music
Mr. Big
groups
City
that,
like you.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's nothing like that actually, but
no, some parts are. Southern Minnesota is kind of like that, actually.
Yeah.
But musically,
there's
I mean, what all goes on there? I mean, are you you're this sort of fusion of all kinds of different things? Are you do you represent in a
we,
way?
No, we,
all the
we
music
don't
that
represent
go on there?
The Minneapolis music scene.
Mm. Not at all.
In any
not really,
fashion,
no.
Really.
We're other an abomination.
Than, yes. we other than that, we emanate from there, which is why we tour mostly. We don't play in our own region
really?
Very
yeah,
often.
Yeah, we don't play all that often in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Do people just not want you or what?
No, they don't run us. It hurts, too. It's probably a little of, you know, you're never big in your hometown
right.
And all that,
yeah.
That thing. But then the other thing is, I had a discussion on a webcast with Lisa and I did a webcast in Minneapolis just a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about this. And they're a bit spoiled. They're a bit jaded, I think. And this is my opinion. They kind of, if you're from there, it doesn't help. But it's just funny. We can go to North Carolina and we're embraced there. But you go, you know, we try to play a club. We will play a jazz club in Minneapolis that we do quite well at. Just goes to show you.
If they ever bring us back.
But yeah. But they're used to, you know, they're used to an eclectic type of music, but otherwise it's like we can't really play our music and have
the same
vibe come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same typically. Reaction we'll get out elsewhere.
Yeah, they basically want to hear, it's kind of a set thing that they want to hear. And
so what would that set thing be?
It's,
what would
it's
cover
an indie
thing?
Rock town. I mean, that's definitely true of Minneapolis.
Indie rock?
Yeah, indie rock is big there.
And covers,
Replacements and Suburbs.
I mean, I know there is a lot of classical music that goes on. You know,
sure,
yeah. A couple of, you got a major symphony orchestra there. You have a major chamber orchestra there.
Yeah, St. Paul.
You have a major music school there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, you know, I got rejected by them, so I'm sort of feeling...
By who?
By the University of Minnesota, I'm feeling sort of...
you did?
Whoa.
Yes. I feel you.
We apologize
pain, you know,
for well, our it's
not they a, didn't want me either.
Yeah, I mean, just our path of least resistance, you know, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, well, okay, it's not necessarily working. We do play it at a club. It's I call it our home bar because it's the first bar that I ever booked this band, this configuration, in White Bear Lake, Minnesota. And... that place always fills up. It's not very big, but it always gets packed, and they like to hear our crazy music. So that's kind of fun.
We will play, you know, I don't want to say that we don't play there at all, because we do. We'll play certain outdoor events, park gigs, small festivals. The jazz club we mentioned earlier, which is a national destination venue for traveling jazz acts. It's called the Dakota, so... we played there, but what we've discovered, I think this is probably true most of the time for most artists, is that when you're in your home market, and I heard Steve Tyler from Aerosmith say this, it's familiarity breeds contempt. So if you're there, well, you're there. So you're not, there's a bit of what Mark said, you get taken for granted, you're not as special. But what we did notice is that when we started heading east, when you pass a certain geographical point, for whatever reason, we don't know, people like our kind of music better.
And which point is that?
I can't disclose that information here.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's like, even in Chicago, I mean, we go to Chicago and it works. It seems like just kind of getting out of the home region, honestly. Not to say that our home region doesn't enjoy our music. It's just...
Smaller
yeah,
numbers.
Yeah, smaller numbers. Exactly.
We should say a little bit that the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra you're experiencing on the show here is a little bit different from the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra you would experience live, just because you're playing acoustically here, except for John does have electric bass. And the rest of you would, well, Lisi and Dan, you would be plugged in.
Yes.
Would you play electric guitar, Dan, or would you plug in your acoustic?
I would do both.
You would do both.
Mainly electric.
Yeah. Mainly electric.
Yeah.
So there is that sound difference, but it seems to work. You know, I have the first record, first CD, and it seems to work this way, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then acoustic always works great for me. And if, of course, you don't have your drums here, partly because you'd probably overpower the rest of them playing acoustically in this room.
Yeah.
It's fun to do this. We don't get a chance to do this very often. So it's playing stripped down forces you to play better.
It's kind of fun to go extreme.
Well, actually, hold on. I'm going to pick up on that right there. Do you think that's true? It forces you to play it better?
Yeah. It forces you to think differently, at least. There's a certain element that we enjoy to playing loud when there's volume involved with guitar, bass, even fiddle in a larger room. You approach the instrument differently, and it's less precise. It's still precise, as precise as you can make it, but it's less precise. There's nothing to hide behind in this environment at all. There's no, even when Danny doesn't play very distorted electric guitar, but there's some, so he has to think a little differently. I play with a little overdrive on my bass just because that's the sound I like. Naturally, it comes off the amp, so there's less room in between the notes.
Of course, I'm in my element here.
Yes.
This is what I'm most used to. This is what I grew up learning on, the music stand with brushes.
Mark's not sarcastic at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, and the same thing goes for me. I mean, it's kind of fun to do this every once in a while, because otherwise it's just, you know, we come in and you're just kind of doing a GCO light. You know, this way it's like almost like a totally different animal, so I'd rather do this than try to just
tone it down.
This is like the Galactic Cowboy Quartet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rather than orchestra.
Correct.
Of course,
right,
it's still a quartet, but you can
crank it up.
It's
like an intimate evening with the Galactic.
So if you do, I mean, since you do, you know, you are electric, you are plugged in at your shows, and you use the term loud, play loud. I mean, does that necessarily mean you have to play loud?
No, it's electric? It doesn't, but
especially if you're in small clubs.
We've played any size room. We've played literally any space you can possibly conjure up. We've played it. But we tend to play to the space, usually. We always do, actually, which is a skill that I think is good. Some musicians don't. I will say some musicians don't have that skill.
I would have to agree, and I've heard plenty around here. You know, you play in some tiny space, and you crank it all up, and then
it's pointless.
You know,
so we will play to the space. I think I enjoy it all. If we only played in smaller spaces, after a while, I would really be yearning to get on a big PA and crank, because this band does really well on big stages with big loud PAs. We become a big rock band.
Hence the orchestra part.
Right.
Yeah. It was really just a name. We weren't thinking it described anything. It was like, let's come up with a cool name. So we wanted it to be somewhat descriptive. Obviously, you always do, but it wasn't.
I actually think it describes us pretty well.
It does, but to think that we went through this, you know, this we went through a process of naming the band, but we never really took it beyond the fact of, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I mean,
it's like the Beatles.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. That one was taken. But,
Well, let's hear a little bit more about how you do in this space, which is extremely dry and dead. But we fixed that a little bit with our own electronics as it goes out over the air.
Oh, good.
And
you mentioned we have a new record.
I did.
It's called All Out of Peaches. I will plug it exceedingly here. You can get it on our website. GalacticCowboyOrchestra.com or anywhere music is sold. So we're going to do one from that piece. This is called Five Up Front.
We good to go?
Good to go. Five Up Front from All Out of Peaches, the name of the most recent release by the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra, who are with us live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Our fall pledge drive concluded last week, actually concluded Monday, with outstanding support from all of our listeners. And you raised more than $107,000 for WYLL, Illinois Public Media, your local public radio stations and also TV stations, although this drive was not for TV. We do say thanks to the 758 listeners who supported us during the drive. Yeah, thank you for the applause. That's right.
Don't clap, everyone.
That is not an applause track. That is actual applause. And also thanks to our sustainers, underwriters, and friends who've been with us and who have joined, anew during this last drive. Your continued support, greatly appreciated, helps us maintain quality programs, high-quality programs. And I hope you'll agree that Live and Local is one of those, and I certainly have especially appreciated those who pledged and contributed during this program or specifically supported this program. It's never too late. Our website is always up and running. It's willpledge.org, WYLLpledge.org. If you think you can only contribute during a pledge drive, that is a myth. Willpledge.org. Thanks very much to everybody. Looking at the various bios for you guys, Dan Neal says here, Dan Neal is one of the Twin Cities' most adored pickers.
True.
It is true.
And we were just talking about how you all are not appreciated in your hometown, perhaps as much as you might like to be.
And yet here
he is. Adored in what sense? I mean, what kinds of different groups do you play in there? I mean, because a guitarist, of course, can play in all kinds of different
things. I've played and sang lots of country music.
Yeah?
And
you've played with Bo Diddley.
I did play with Bo Diddley.
What, once?
I think it was about four times, about four separate incidents.
What was that like?
That was a lot of fun. Just hearing his guitar when you'd never seen him before. I think I heard his guitar for the first time at the sound check for maybe 2 minutes. And then he put it back in the case and went to dinner and came back at about showtime. But just hearing his guitar when you'd never seen him before. I had never gone to one of his shows because he was probably not doing that many shows by the time I was old enough to get into bars, or at least not that I could afford the ticket for. And so he was really fun to back up. It was a good lesson in accompanying people.
Now, this is a really dumb question. Is he still around?
No. He is not.
He is not still around.
It's not a dumb. The only dumb question is one not asked.
Are you a teacher?
No. Yes. Oh, okay. Danny's played on Prairie Home Companion, too, though.
I do know that.
Yeah. Just thought I'd bring that up.
But says, Bo Diddley wasn't there. But
I did note that, actually. And it says a semi-regular on a Prairie Home Companion. Is that still true, or was it a couple of years?
It's less true now than it was, but I had a bit of a hot streak there.
Did you?
Where maybe I got on four or five times in a couple of years.
With the house band? Or,
yeah. I think I managed to be a featured soloist a couple of those times and was a substitute in the staff band a few of the other times.
The Guys All-Star Shoe Band. Is that what it was called at the time?
Yeah. I got to be one of the guys for when Pat Donahue was, I think, on vacation or on tour, because he has his own shows a lot, too.
So did you do something to tick off Garrison Keillor that you haven't been back?
Well, I don't think so. But
I don't know if that's easily done or not.
Probably not by a band member. I think maybe if you're an actor or a headliner artist or something, you might be able to tick him off if you work at it.
Were you on the? Sorry to interrupt. Weren't you in one of the documentary or the
yeah,
movie?
I wound up as a, I guess you'd call it a cameo by accident.
Okay. In the film?
In the American Masters series film.
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw the commercial release.
I wasn't in that.
You were not in that one. That was an interesting experience, actually, because although I'd seen the live show once in Chicago, I'd never seen the live version of the present cast, so it was kind of funny to see these, you know, their two main actors, and to see that what they actually looked like as opposed to what they sounded like they looked like. And they didn't jibe for me at all.
But. I saw them at the same time I heard them. So I don't think I've ever heard them when I didn't know what they looked like. But that might be a...
He watched them talk.
Yeah, I watched them.
Thank you. I'm trying to work through that.
Yeah.
That's that statement. But
I've read a lot of Yogi Berra lately, you know.
Fair enough. And then, John, are you still in this band called Leto and Wright?
Leto and Wright, yes.
Leto and
Wright. Yeah. Yes, I am.
Which sounds pretty eclectic, with crossing all kinds of musical boundaries.
Well, it's a folk rock band with progressive rock leanings. So it's a buddy of mine named Steve Leto, and we both have an affinity for traditional English and Irish and American folk music. We're kind of fanatical about that, so we sort of modeled it after some of our hero bands, like Fairport Convention is an English band that sort of invented the folk rock idiom, and Steel Ice Band. And we kind of wanted to do that with American folk music. So we commenced that in 1999. We're still doing it. It's a part-time endeavor. But we it's kind of the other side of my brain. There's no real improvisation in that band at all. And it's folk music that we rearrange. Whereas Galactic Cowboy Orchestra is, what's great about this band for me is that I can write really crazy things and we play it, which is awesome.
Well, and then you do open it up and there is improv.
That's
we heard in that last song.
Right. A lot of what Leto and Wright does is literally just we interpret traditional music and we play it we amplify it. And we're not the first to do it, but I suppose we do it a little different because we add a little progressive rock in there, and it's like taking like two different niches and combining them to make an even more narrow niche sort of thing.
And here's a band that I don't even know if you guys would fit in a niche. It calls itself Newgrass Art Rock, which just opens all kinds of possibilities. Let's hear another example of what on earth that means from the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra.
Right, we're going to sing one. Hang on.
All right.
I should say the first two recordings original music that we've released have been all instrumental. But we've always had singers in this band, and we kind of came to about a year ago, we started realizing that we have the capacity to sing, but it was underutilized. Because the band originally started as an all-instrumental, some sort of fusion-y band. We weren't quite sure what it was. So we've made a conscious effort to start writing original music with lyrics. And our next record's going to have some of that material on it. However, this next one we didn't write, but we perform it on a regular basis.
Nice intro.
Yeah. Little twist there. But it's at least it's an example of us singing.
So is this one that shows up? I mean, you've got two albums called Songs We Didn't Write.
It's not on either of those.
It's not on either.
It's going to be on the next. This will
be probably be on the next album.
By a band called King's X, who's still out there just tearing it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're doing?
That is correct, yep.
So this is called?
Groove Machine.
Live in our studio.
Sorry. Oh, wow. Sorry.
I'm just babbling. Just play.
Welcome to the Groove Machine. make such a funky beat. The closer you get, the deeper it means.
Groove Machine, played by the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra here in our studio on Live and Local. They are guitarist Dan Neal, fiddle player Lisi Wright, bassist John Wright, and percussionist Mark O'Day. And they're on our show today because they're kind of in between gigs. They came from Springfield, Ohio, yesterday or the day before.
We left today, yeah.
Yeah, and then they'll be in St. Louis tomorrow night. Don't have a local show, but that could change coming in the wintertime. Stay tuned to this station. We'll try to let you know when they're coming through. Thank you all very much. It's been a fun time again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And we'll be happy to have you back.
All right.
Quick rundown of a few other things that you can see and hear live in our listening area tonight anyway. Eastern Illinois University Jazz Combos are performing at the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7:30. There is the Millikan University Percussion Ensemble's Halloween concert tonight at the Albert Taylor Theater in Decatur. That's at 7:30. University of Illinois Wind Symphony is at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. It's the Memory of Water, put on by the Illinois Wesleyan University Theater Department, tonight at 8 o'clock at the Kirkpatrick Laboratory Theater in Bloomington. Dan Hubbard is at Baxter's in Bloomington. It's Cornmeal with the Hen House Prowlers and Sonny Stubble at the Canopy Club in Urbana tonight at 9 o'clock. On tomorrow's Live and Local, looking forward to have a Pakistani group called, I'll probably mispronounce this, Kawal Najmuddin Suifidin and Brothers, who are going to be in Charleston tomorrow night. They'll be live on our show on tomorrow's program. That is bound to be different and interesting. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. For Live and Local, I'm Kevin Kelly. Stay tuned for All Things Considered from NPR.